of those of you pop up and say, "You're not gay." I am not gay. Shame, shame, shame. I'll tell you what. Welcome to church this morning. Glad we can all be here. Gay has had the flu this week, and she's had a pretty tough time of it, hasn't she, Jerry? Her fever finally broke yesterday. She's been fighting this thing since Wednesday? Monday or Tuesday, yeah. She's been dealing with it quite a while. So keep Gay in your prayers. She's a hard worker, but she needed to be where she is today at home recovering. Kylie, I want to also tell you folks that Kylie pitched in here at the last minute. Becky is having some difficulties with her hip and a lot of pain. So yesterday afternoon, she called and she was not able to be here to play today. And Kylie has graciously stepped in at the last minute to help us. So thank you very much to Kylie. Our call to worship this morning is the family prayer song, "Come and Fill Our Homes with Your Presence." Would you please stand?
Good to gather in the Lord's house this morning. Our prayers are with Gay as she recovers from the flu, and with Becky in her absence with us this morning. And thank you, Rob and Kylie, for filling in for us this morning. As we do gather here this morning, I do want to remind you about the ministry opportunities that come up this afternoon and this evening. This afternoon at 4 o'clock, our adult Bible study will continue at 4 o'clock as we continue our Bible study Notorious. All our adults are invited to join us. If you have not been able to join us on Sunday afternoons, we've been having a wonderful time of discussion as we look at some of the Bible characters in our Bible that sometimes we overlook or sometimes we don't like to discuss. So I encourage you to come out at 4 o'clock this afternoon for our time of discussion and Bible study. Also at 5 o'clock this evening, I want to encourage you to come for our fellowship meal upstairs in our fellowship hall. Our deacons have gone around last Sunday and invited some of our neighbors, our college student neighbors live in the houses around our neighborhood. And we have invited them to come at 5 o'clock and join us for our fellowship meal this evening. And we want to encourage you to come join us for that fellowship meal time at 5 o'clock. So we hope we'll have some of our college student neighbors that will join us for our meal at 5 o'clock this evening. And that will be from 5 to 5:45 this evening. So please come and join us for a time of fellowship around the table as we get to know some of our college student neighbors and enjoy a time of fellowship around the table. Kathy Hines is leading that meal, and we look forward to who knows who will be here tonight. So it will be a wonderful time of fellowship, and I encourage all of y'all to come and join us for that time of meal tonight at 5 o'clock. At 5:45 tonight, and I want to emphasize that at 5:45 tonight will be our Elon Roundtable meeting. We have our business meeting. There will be a few items that will be coming to be discussed, some of our updates from our ministry teams. And so come for that time of business meeting at 5:45. That will be immediately following our fellowship meal tonight. Youth, we do have Consuming Fire tonight at 5:30, but I do want to let you know that our children children's meeting will not take place tonight as Gay has continued to recover from the flu, so children's will not meet tonight at 5:30. A couple other things that I do want to point out this morning is, if you have items for the March newsletter that will be coming out, ministry teams, make sure you get those articles to Janice by next Sunday, so you make sure they get those into the newsletter that we'll be putting together this week. The earlier the better, always, for the newsletter. Janice has been working on that this week, this past week, and she'll be continuing to work on those this week. A couple other things that will be coming up. Youth Breakfast Club will be Wednesday morning. So if you're interested in going to that, youth, I encourage you to come out at 6:45 on Wednesday at Biscoville on Huffman Mill Road. Also, remember our afternoon chat at Barnes & Noble. That'll be Thursday afternoon at 3 o'clock. Join us for that time of discussion that will be coming up. Also, if you do, if you're still interested in putting a engraved stone in our memorial prayer garden, please get that into the office as soon as possible. It's still not too late, but we do need to get those orders in as soon as possible. That time is drawing near, so please get those to the office. You can drop those into the office anytime this week, but we really need to get that order in as soon as possible. So if you have any questions about that, you can talk to Rob, you can talk to Jane, but please drop those off to the office as soon as possible.
David, I'm going to come over to the round table tonight, and I'll have order forms there, and
okay.
I'll help anybody with an order who wants to place an order.
Okay, so come tonight, and if you have any questions about that, Rob will have those here tonight as well. Many other items are in the bulletin, also in the newsletter. You can check those out. If you have any other questions, you can see me following worship service this morning. As we do prepare for worship this morning, we turn to our opening scripture passage. It comes from Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 through 28. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground." Let us go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father God, you are the great creator, the one who breathed life into being, the one who breathed us into being. And as the person who, the God who created us in your image, we come to give you thanks. We come to give thanks for creation, for the ability to come to you and worship this morning and give you thanks as the great creator. And being formed in your image, we are reminded of the importance of taking care of your creation. And that is why we've come to you this morning, Father, giving you thanks. Giving you thanks for the creation of the ground. Giving thanks for the creation of the water. Giving thanks for the creation of the land. Giving thanks for the creation of the birds that fly in the air, the fish that swim in the sea. Giving thanks for the ability to breathe air. And giving thanks for the ability to sing songs to you. Father, we come to give you thanks. We come to give you thanks and worship this day. We lift this prayer this morning, giving you thanks as your creation. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who gives us new life, we give you thanks this day and worship this morning. We lift this prayer in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now, if you're able, please stand and join in singing our hymn of praise, In Christ Alone.
In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my spring, my song. This gift is known, this solid ground. Far through the fiercest drought and storm, till heights of love, what depths of peace, when prayers are still, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, in my flesh, fullness of God in helpless faith, this gift of love and righteousness.
Good morning. I'm here to remind everybody about something we do here at First Baptist called Joe's Diner. We participate with Allied Churches of Alamance County one time a month, going in and feeding the homeless. It is extremely rewarding. I can't tell you how much it means to stand there and talk to those folks as they go through and realize just how blessed we are. So we still have some spaces, some teams that really could use additional help. If when we did it before you weren't able to participate, if you'd like to join in now, we are happy to put you on a team and let you join in with us. What you're asked to do is just help prepare a meal one time a month, take it over, and part of the team usually fixes and part of the team usually serves is the way it works. We do it the fourth Tuesday, if you're thinking about nights that you're committed already. The fourth Tuesday of the month, we go in. And please keep in mind, it can be expensive, yes, to put together a meal for 80 people, but they don't have to be elaborate. It can be anything from soup and sandwiches to pizza. Well, not pizza. Pizza's already done. Spaghetti, soup, anything. You know, you can do casseroles if you want to. The missions team has committed $100 a month to reimburse the teams for that. So that takes some of that weight off of you as you do it. And the other thing is to remember is if you're doing something that uses a salad and rolls would go with, if you call it the first of the month over to Texas Roadhouse and can get on their schedule, we've done it before, they provide that for free. So there's a chunk out of your meal right there that won't cost you anything. But please think about it. If you can find in your heart a way to help serve these people in Alamance County that really don't have a way to eat some nights, it's a wonderful, wonderful blessing, and we would love to add you to a team. Just call Janice and let her know, or call me directly. We'll get you on a team. Thank you.
Before we do our offertory hymn, I want to welcome my son, my daughter-in-law, my granddaughter, and my grandson, Tyler, Shelley, and the little girl who's wearing the unicorn hat. That's Sadie. Sadie. And Will is upstairs. Our offertory hymn is number 506. It's in your hymn book. The words will be on the screen. The name of it is O God to Those Who Here Profess, but you will recognize the tune as Happy the Home. So if you'd please stand.
Good morning. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the many gifts you have given to us. Some are gifts of the mind, some are gifts of the hands, and some are gifts of the heart. Please help us to be generous with these gifts. Let us share them with others to do your will. And now it's a time to return a portion of the blessing that you send our way. Use this for your purpose, both within our church and beyond. Amen.
is God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
You may be seated.
This is fill-in Sunday, so after I have the prayer, Bill Mann will be up to deliver the sermon this morning. He didn't know that. Let's pray. Lord, hear us now as we come in confession. Lord, we are grateful that you hear our prayers and that you are the God of forgiveness. We pray, Lord, for our church, that you would encourage us, that you would help us to realize the gifts that we have, and that you would help us in the days to come to enrich our relationships with each other and with those folks in our community who are not yet part of this congregation. Father, we pray for peace in our world. We pray for those who protect it. We pray for those who share your love throughout the world. And we pray that your Spirit will move among us in this place as we have gathered to worship and to be challenged by your word. Give us ears to hear and a willingness to share. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Romans chapter 12 this morning, beginning in verse 9. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, "It is mine to avenge, I will repay," says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his holy word. You know, and I know, that the Garden of Gethsemane was a place, a favorite place of Jesus. He would go there to retreat. It was located just outside the eastern Golden Gate of the old city of Jerusalem. One memorable Thursday night, Jesus was there to pray to his Father in heaven. He knew that he was going to be crucified the next day, and he wanted to discuss a possible cancellation of that. He asked three times for his Father to call off the cross. Each time he refused. Each time Jesus said, "Not my will, but your will be done." Accepting the sentence of death, Jesus got up and he walked through the garden. And he was arrested by soldiers who were tipped off about his whereabouts by one of his close friends. Remember that Jesus and Judas had been together for more than 3 years. The actual betrayal was by a heinous act. He identified Jesus to the police by giving him a kiss. Jesus knew exactly what was happening, and yet he responded by calling Judas friend. After an awful night of illegal trials in a religious court, the Roman governor sentenced Jesus to crucifixion. Soldiers were assigned to actually drive the iron spikes through his hands and his feet, and then lift up the cross and drop it in the prepared hole in the ground. And while those who were being crucified with Jesus, the one on the left and the one on the right, cursed their executioners, Jesus prayed for them, saying, "Father, forgive them. They have no idea what they're doing." Jesus was amazing. His father told him no. His friend betrayed him. Strangers crucified him. And yet he maintained good relationships with all of them. Jesus had an amazingly healthy attitude toward relationships, and so can we. And it's vital that we do. Philippians 2 says, "If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and in purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus." Some people have no earthly idea of what a healthy relational attitude looks like. They've been surrounded with unhealthy attitudes for so long they come to think that that's just normal. These are those who are easily offended, or angry, or unforgiving, upset, and self-centered. Healthy attitudes towards relationships seem strange to them and to some of us. And so to adapt the attitude of Jesus may appear to be impossible, but it's not. And so our goal today and in the days ahead of us should be this. Our attitude should be the same as Christ Jesus. One of the best statements of healthy attitudes towards relationships is stated by the Apostle Paul in Romans 12, which we read earlier. So we're going to use that text as a way to explore how we can develop healthy attitudes towards our relationship with others. First of all, there is reality. A healthy attitude toward relationships begins with reality, and that reality is that not all relationships are good. You see, we're all sinners. We all have different opinions about things. We all approach relationships differently. Many of us do not know how to handle criticism. Many do not know how to deal with dysfunctional family members or how to respond to people who may be different than we are. Strained relationships is common in the human experience. I did a funeral for a family in Durham when I was there. A man had remarried and he died. Came time for the funeral. His adult children from his first marriage sat on one side. His wife and her adult children sat on the other side in the sanctuary, and they never spoke to each other. They never looked at each other. They just sat and glared. And after the funeral was over, they still didn't speak to each other. We went to the fellowship hall. We had a nice meal for the family. And then it broke loose. They started arguing and fussing and fighting over who was going to get what. We had to call the police to come and take care of that dysfunctional family. Strained relationships. Other strained relationships come to mind, like former spouses who don't speak to each other 20 years after the divorce is final, or partners who argue about every detail of their business, siblings who can't sit next to each other without calling each other names, and they're in their 70s. They ought to know better. We often idealize our relationships. We idealize how things are to work. Everybody is supposed to understand. Everybody is supposed to agree. Everybody's supposed to get along. Doesn't work like that. And so when relationships are not the way we think they ought to be, then we get hurt and we get angry and we get disappointed. But a healthy attitude recognizes that people don't always get along, that people do misbehave, and that no relationships are perfect. Sometimes bad relationships are intentional because of evil. But most often, bad behavior and bad relationships are because people don't know any better and they just mess up. Reality is that some people will never behave we want them to behave, and that we'll never have the kind of relationship with those people that we want to. Reality is that some of life's relationships are absolutely wonderful and others are not. And so the healthiest of attitudes is to realize that you and I, we cannot control the attitudes and actions of others, but we can control the attitudes and actions of ourselves. That's reality. With reality comes the attitude of love. There is nothing more Christian and nothing healthier than to love others regardless of the way they behave. You see, love is acting and thinking in a positive and caring manner toward other persons regardless of their attitude or behavior, and that's tough sometimes. Love assumes that someone must behave like a Christian. Someone should be the adult. Someone should choose to do right, and someone should choose to do what is good. The Bible says love must be sincere. Sincere literally means without wax. Think about that for a second. Sincere means without wax. You see, the Greeks, when their marble statues would crack, they would use wax to cover up the cracks. And that was fine as long as it was cool. But when the sun came out and it got hot, the wax would melt and the cracks in the marble would be revealed. Sincere love is the real thing. It looks the same even when our relationships heat up. The Bible says, hate what is evil and cling to what is good. That's a good practical advice. Look for the good in every relationship and hold on to what you find. Love never requires us, though, to like what is evil. Love the sinner, hate the sin. It's okay to disapprove of what is inappropriate behavior. The Bible says, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Decide to be committed to the other person as part of your family. You decide what you've got to do, whether it's whether they do what is right or whether they do what is wrong. You do right. The Bible says, honor one another above yourselves. That's probably the healthiest, most practical advice that we can have. It's easy to get caught up on ourselves. Focusing and honoring the other person is a better thing to do, regardless of how they treat you. Don't disrespect somebody because he owes you money. Don't refuse to speak to those who may have upset you, put you down, or those who won't speak to you. You speak to them first. Scare them half to death. Think of ways to honor the other person, whether they're nice to you or not. Do you remember a time when you felt a healthy attitude about yourself? I just went through rehab. I feel pretty good these days. Pat myself on the back. And I'm still doing it, working out 3 or 4 days a week. Well, maybe for you it was when you lost a few pounds or you ran 10 miles a day. Maybe it was a day you chose to eat a salad instead of a quarter pound on a large order of fries. Feels good to do something healthy, doesn't it? Try loving someone who doesn't have it coming. Try honoring the other person, whether they deserve it or not. It's probably your best shot at developing a healthy relationship with that person. And even if it doesn't work out, you'll feel better about yourself for doing it. Part of a healthy attitude of loving is also forgiving, the rough word for most of us. Forgiving is letting go of revenge. It means I'll let go of my bad attitude even if the other person doesn't ask for forgiveness. It means I'm willing to move on, even though I've been treated poorly. Forgiveness doesn't mean that you caved in. It doesn't mean you're wrong. It doesn't mean you're weak. Forgiveness means that you have chosen to let it go. You're no longer going to expect the other person to make everything right. You're no longer trying to get even. You're going to let it go. Most of all, forgiveness means that you're going to trust God to handle what you can't. Romans 12:19 says, do not take revenge. Could have put a period there. But he goes on a little further. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. And in doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. That is one of the most wonderful and strangest quotes in Scripture. It tells us that you and I have a choice about getting even. We can do it ourselves, or we can let God do it. And I'll tell you that no one in their right mind thinks they can do something better than God can do it. So you might as well not do it. Let him handle it. Forgiving others is good. And if revenge is needed, God will take care of it. And so the Bible tells us if we do that, we'll heap burning coals on the person's head. Now, that's just a figure of speech. That's not literal. It means that the person might actually end up feeling guilty, or they might be embarrassed because you have treated them fairly. You have been so nice to them when they were so wrong to you, and it might help them change for the better. One of the biggest parts of a healthy attitude toward relationships is to take initiative. Don't leave good relationships to the other person. You be the person who is the Christian. Now, I love the relationship I have with Christians. Most of them, anyway. Some aren't so nice. But for the most part, Christians are kind and generous and forgiving and gracious and loving to me. And it shows more when I haven't been that way toward them. Christians cut me some slack and give me the benefit of the doubt, and I'm grateful. You see, sometimes I say things that I wished I hadn't said, but you know, once it's out, you can't get it back. I've done some things that I wished I hadn't done, or I've left undone things that I should have been doing, but they cut me slack, and so it makes me want to be that kind of person to them. It makes me want to be better. And when Christians take the initiative towards me to have a good relationship, then I want to take the initiative to have a good relationship with them. It makes me want to do the same thing. It's up to us who call ourselves Christians to take the initiative to develop good, healthy relationships. Let me quote Scripture as we close from Romans 12. This should be what we live by every day as individuals and as a church. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody, and if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Or as Paul wrote to the Philippian Christians, your attitude should be the same as Christ Jesus. When we have the attitude of Christ, we will influence others for Christ. We have a lot of empty seats in this sanctuary. Maybe we ought to practice a little bit of better having better relationships with people outside the church. If we treat people as human beings created in the image of God, which they are, they might respond to the love of Christ and not the hatred of people who think, this is my church, you've got to be the way I want you to be, or you can't come in. And we're guilty. All churches are guilty of that. The church today is in trouble because of that. But hear this, it will never fail because it's not the church of the people, it is the church of Jesus Christ, who is Lord of Lords and Savior of all. And if we follow him, if we have his attitude, then we can attract others, not to us, but to him. We have a golden opportunity as we venture into new beginnings in a congregation with a new pastor somewhere down the road here. But it's a great time for us to live and share and have the same attitude as Christ Jesus. And if we do that, we will grow. It's important. And so let's practice within the confines of this building, within our families, and within our community. Praise God for his love. Let's pray. We thank you, O Lord, for your love for us, for the example that you set for us. Help us. Help us to have that same attitude of love and trust and forgiveness. Help us to take the initiative in the days ahead to share our faith with others in our community. Lord, if there be one in our midst today who does not know you as Savior and Lord, may today be the day of salvation. And Lord, for those of us who claim you as our Lord, may we recommit ourselves to having that attitude that Jesus Christ had, that we might grow and honor your holy name. We pray in his name and for his sake. Amen. Would you respond as we sing our hymn of invitation this morning? Number 483, In the Footsteps of Jesus.